On point.
On point.
Yeah, that was all Mike Heidman, I'm telling you.
I am so pretty and I love you, Sandra. Now I'm your biggest fan. I saw your picture and it's the best, the finest in the world.
What's going on, Sound Sessioners? Sound Session listeners? Good morning. Happy Labor Day weekend. This is your host, Michael Heidman, and this is the biggest pleasure. It's always great talking to you folks in your car, in your earbuds, on your computer screens. Hi to my grandpa. I'm sure he's listening right now, too. We have a great, great show coming up. And as you heard, we're speaking with Carl and Lisa, two people that I absolutely adore. It's going to be a lot of music, a lot of comedy, a lot of radio debauchery. But you're probably thinking, who am I? Who is this guy? Who am I listening to? You don't hear my voice all the time, and I understand that. You're probably thinking, this little rascal thinks he can come over to WGN and take over the airwaves for 3 hours? Give me a break. Well, I'm here to tell you who I am. I'm the executive producer for the Patty Vasquez with Andrea Darlis show. It's on 7 to 11 every single night, except for Saturday and Sunday here on WGN. And I'm also the host of WGN's all-music podcast, Sound Sessions, which you can find on WGNradio.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere you find your podcasts. And it's a great way to get in touch with listeners because I get letters from people, I get letters from fans of the music, artists that I interview, and I love communicating back and forth. So be sure to send me an email at soundsessionspod@gmail.com. Or you can send me an email here at mheidemann@wgnradio.com. And this is your conversation. Don't you forget, we had a lot of great calls last time I was hosting. I think we had a sister who was a Pat Boone fan at one time. And that was pretty rock and roll. And if you want to give us a call, dial in at 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking music all night long. Tell me your stories. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with you all tonight. So I was born from my mom, Celeste, and my dad, Michael, in Southern California. I was born and raised in the Northwest suburbs. And, you know, after years of sneaking to shows with fake IDs and talking my way into venues around Chicago, traveling to Amsterdam, going to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas to find music, I'm now fully submerged in the music industry here in Chicago. And honestly, Curtis, Roger, Aubrey, it's the greatest pool to have ever dipped my toe into ever. And I'm looking forward to, you know, taking the reins for these 3 hours and just talking about music. And the best part is I get to talk with my team. So what's going on, Curtis, my lovely producer over there?
I'm doing really well, Michael. Nice to see you back here again.
Good to be back. Good to be back, man. How's life?
Doing really well. Just going through life as the days go by. Looking forward. I'm going on a vacation on Wednesday.
No way.
Florida, yeah. So be out of town for about 10 days. So looking forward to packing up and spending a few days down in Florida for a few weeks.
Wait a minute. You just started working. You just got out of college. You just started working. You don't get a vacation yet.
This is a family vacation, Roger.
Oh, all right.
Speak that lovely voice you heard. Our newsman, Roger Badish. Roger, what is going on? Long time no talk.
Long time no talk since 24 hours ago or 28 hours ago. Whatever.
It's been a while.
I'm so excited for you, and I love that you're talking music. I don't get enough time in my day to listen to music.
Wow.
And really? I used to have a vinyl collection that was the major portion of our boxes whenever we would move.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm down to just a precious few. I did grudgingly move into the digital age over the years, only because I got tired of lugging those boxes of albums all over the place.
I remember those days. My dad had that wooden crate of vinyls that he would bring everywhere we would go when we would move.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we traveled from California to McHenry, which is a small town in the Northwest suburbs, and most of our station wagon was full of these albums. Mm-hmm. And do you remember the giant record players that you would sit in the back
of got it at home. I still have it at home. I've got two, in fact.
Wow.
I have an old record player that we inherited from one of our former neighbors. It not only plays, you can stack the records, mm-hmm. so they will automatically release when one is done, so you don't have to keep putting one in. And it has a 45 adapter, mm-hmm. so I can play the singles. It has an AM/FM tuner, and it has an 8-track player.
Wow. Roger, you are the original hipster. That's what you are.
Well, it's only because my hips are old and they don't move like before. But I also have a single play, like it only accepts one album at a time or one 45 at a time, the kind that you would find in a radio station. So that I actually put a piece of felt on it. Do you know about that, putting a piece of felt on the record, on the turntable?
Yeah, you got to keep it safe.
Well, no.
Oh,
so that I can slip cue the records.
Oh.
You know about that, don't you?
You know?
No.
The only time that I was really face-to-face with one of those classic record players was when my mom and dad set one up and we would listen to Beach Boys' Barbara Ann on repeat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, over and over?
Over.
That's nice.
When you're like 9 years old, that's the greatest song of the entire world.
Oh, of course. But a slip cue, and Aubrey can attest to this, in radio stations of yore, you would have two turntables, maybe three, one on either side of the DJ, and you would put a record on and let the turntable, there's a piece of felt between the record and the turntable. The turntable would be spinning underneath the record that you would hold with just the tip of your finger, the needle already on the spot where the song would start. And what you would do is you would turn the record a half a turn backwards so that when you would let go in that half turn, it catches up to the speed of the turntable and the music starts exactly when you want it to start. And that's what you use the piece of felt for. It's cut to the size of a record.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is segment number one, Classic Vinyl with Roger Badish. Roger, I'm so stoked that you're on the show here tonight. I can't wait to be talking to you a little bit more.
Yep.
Let's go through the rest of the show real quick. We also got to give a shout out to our rock star engineer, Aubrey Mumpower, who is here at the station and will be spinning the beats and making sure that we stay on air for most of the show, hopefully.
Most of the show.
Yeah. So, like I said, tonight we might have one of the greatest shows ever. I can honestly say that. Let's see what we got going on, though, tonight. I wanted to lay out the question to our listeners and my thoughtful roundtable. If you had any moments or in your life where you witnessed creativity at its birth, I'm saying, when have you seen an artist who is performing for the first time, whether it be an open mic? We're talking, did you see Elvis for the first time play at a local church? Or maybe the Beatles, did you see them play at the Cavern Club? Heck, you know, even Chicago's own Fall Out Boy, who is a pop punk band, did you see them maybe at a record store? Because, you know, I maybe did, and I might share that story after the break. Then we're going to go into a full discussion about a low-key controversial piece of music that came out over the past week with Eminem's new album Kamikaze. You know, of course, he's been known to ruffle the feathers and with his lyrics and his political standings. So to dissect the album and to talk about the influence of classic rap, hip-hop, on this otherwise veteran artist, I'm going to bring on one of WGN's radio's own newsmen and music aficionado, Doma T. Pongo. And then at 3 o'clock, we have the team of some of the funniest comedians in Chicago with Vic Pandya, Tyler Fowler from the Team Us Comedy Group. And straight from the Laugh Factory, we have Paige Blair, which I'm really looking forward to speaking to. And then, like I mentioned to Carl and Lisa, around 4 a.m., are there any Led Zeppelin fans in this house, Curtis?
Oh, yes.
Now, did you have that? Did you have that fact on?
Yeah, and we had a caller call in too and give the answer. But
good.
What happened was it was right after the Yardbirds disbanded.
Okay.
Paige was looking for a new band member with Keith Moon of The Who, and Moon commented that the new band would go down like a lead balloon, and John Entwistle at the stage suggested that it would be more like a Led Zeppelin.
Oh, my new classic Entwistle. Oh, man. Okay, so Carl's right.
Yeah, he was right on track with that.
Well, you know, he knows his rock and roll.
He does.
I can see that. All right, cool. So around 4 p.m., I'm sorry, 4 a.m., like I mentioned, we're going to be playing a live interview from Lollapalooza where I sat down with Sam Kiska, who plays bass in Greta Van Fleet. And if you haven't heard Greta Van Fleet, stop your car this moment, keep my radio show on, but on your iPad or iPod, play Greta Van Fleet at the same time so you can hear their just their majesty of music. It's really, really cool. And they're only 19 years old, too. Isn't that crazy? It's insane.
That's insane.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I had that kind of music prowess at 19 years old.
Yeah, I think we all did.
All right, so we're going to go into that. And then, of course, we have This Is History and our segment with Walter Jacobson, too. This is Michael Heidemann. I am in for the great Dave Plyer. We will be back right after this. Welcome back, listeners. It's now time for a Sound Sessions podcast Music Minute with Luke Spiller of The Struts. What can you tell musicians who are sitting in their parents' basement or in the garage right now? What can you tell them to keep going to get to the point where you are at today?
Just concentrate on your songwriting. And, you know, that's the thing that's going to sort of like take anyone to the next level is the song. And then once you have the song, then you can pepper it and decorate it with, you know, putting some effort into what you wear and presenting it and, you know, using it to have a great time. I seriously would encourage anyone to be in a band, especially like in their teens, because it changes your life and you form friendships that, you know, it's kind of hard to describe how close you become with band members.
Thanks so much for listening to the Sound Sessions Music Minute. What did you think, AV Club editor John Tatey?
Tell Michael that before the show, we were both talking about how wonderful he is.
Welcome back, WGN listeners. Hope you enjoyed the Sound Sessions Music Minute. Domiti, what did you think of that?
I love it.
Come on,
I love the Sound Sessions podcast. So, you know, yeah, I'm down for it.
You can listen to it any day, anytime on WGNradio.com. And if you heard just for a second there, we're going to be playing music from local Chicago artists throughout the entire show because I'm all about promoting creativity, especially in our beautiful, beautiful city. So that little Nintendo beat you just heard was from the great band I Fight Dragons, which is a really well-known band here in Chicago. Hari Rao is one of the bassist, who is a member. And he's also a comedian here in Chicago, and the guys still live in the city. They were the theme song for the Goldbergs.
Wow.
They used to do music for WWE. So it's all about just promoting creativity in our wonderful city.
I think they've played in studio before, too, haven't they?
Oh, yeah,
they have. I think, yeah. I know I Fight Dragons.
Yeah, I Fight Dragons. Yeah, great Chicago band.
Love that band.
Yeah, so we're going to be playing music from local Chicago groups for the entire show. So listen for your song. If you messaged me on Facebook, I posted something about it earlier. So we're going to be getting those kind of artists throughout the show. Now, that brings me to my next point. The power of the open mic.
Yes.
There's artists all over the city that have gotten their start at open mics. And I am so, so excited to be speaking to you, Domiti, because you're a host of an open mic here in Chicago, the Artist Lounge that you host every month, is it?
Yes. We actually do pop-up events whenever the mood strikes us. And, mm-hmm. and as you said, you know, the artist community is robust in the city, and it's up to open mic venues to give these artists a chance to work out their material, work out their work, polish up their act. You know, the music industry has changed. There's no A&R department necessarily anymore. So you've got to get out there and work on your chops yourself. So we host this open mic. You can go to the Artist Lounge Shy on Instagram, and if you just Google the Artist Lounge Chicago, something to pop up with it. I've gotten a lot of coverage locally on some different websites, but it's a fun set, man.
Well, you're really doing it, and that's the cool thing, because I was talking about like how long it took me and all the shows that I needed to sneak into to finally get a grasp on Chicago music, and you're in it, Domiti. You host these shows, you promote local artists, you promote just the city, and I love that about you. I love that you do
same
that.
With you. Thanks, you do, man. The exact same thing with your open mic, and it just lets you know in all genres of music, a lot of our musical interests intersect in some ways, and then we have some bands that you put me onto, and I've got some bands that I'll put you onto.
Yeah.
And no matter what genre of music, the point being, if you're a true artist, you've got to get your live performance together. That separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, my friends.
I can't wait. We're going to be talking about this right after the news, but before we go to the news, we've got to talk to one of the greatest musicians, the greatest host on WGN to ever step foot on radio. It's Mr. Dave Plyer, who I'm in for tonight. What's going on, Dave?
What's going on, buddy?
It's great to hear from you. Why are you awake right now?
Why am I awake is a good question, because I ran into a client tonight who I now was kind of forced to entertain for the last couple hours. So now I'm taking this individual out for drinks in the middle of the night. And you know what? I'm kind of past that. Like, you're a young guy. You can stay out till the middle of the night. I just can't do that anymore.
He says as he calls us at 2:30 in the morning. I think right. You're quite all right, Dave.
Dave is working on his night off.
Yeah, I'm working on my night off, exactly.
Well, yeah, I got one important question. I got one important question for you, Dave. Who won the bowling match?
Oh, it was Josh. Josh followed by Alex.
Ooh.
Which means I was at the bottom of the list. I sucked tonight. That was
Oh, man, that is so great. So, Dave, we're talking about just being engrossed in the music industry, and you have an extensive background with music, don't you?
Yeah, I was in the retail side of the music industry for like 20 years or so. So, I spent a lot of time meeting artists and new bands and all that good stuff. And at some point for me, it got a little like mundane. Like I was getting bored a little bit with music, and probably about 2 years after I got out of the whole music industry, it just totally took off. Mm-hmm. And
it's incredible. And we were talking about, you know, when you're seeing an artist for the first time, there's some people who have stories about how they saw the Beatles at the Cavern Club, or they saw Fall Out Boy at a record store. Do you have any of those stories? Because you must have been came across some artists in your day.
Yeah, there was two things. I was living in Minneapolis, and we had Kurt Cobain and Nirvana like for a midnight opening when their first album came out. So it was Kurt Cobain, and we also did U2. So I had Bono in the store like a midnight opening of some sort. But yeah, I would say Nirvana was probably the biggest one that as far as new music that we had in Minneapolis. So like when their first album came out, they were out in studio, and that was pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, Nirvana, that was one of the biggest bands. That first album, too, was made by Butch Vig.
Yeah.
I just watched this great compilation of how he put that album together. And that band is, you say what you want about Nirvana, they're overrated. There's a lot of hate that goes on with them, but there's also so much love. And that band, really, they had it. I mean, the way that they double-tracked their vocals, they were actually going for it, and they wanted it that bad. Did you see it in them back then?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were very hungry artists at the time, and they were just, when I met them, they were just getting started, and their first album was obviously just completely out of the box. And when I was living in Minneapolis, we would do a lot of midnight openings. So when there was a new album that came out, there would be thousands of people lined up on the street. On a Monday night, because Tuesday night was a big night where albums would come out on Tuesday morning. And so at midnight on Monday, we would have thousands of people wrapped around the corner in Dinky Town, which it was called at the time, which was, college campus, University of Minnesota. And I was based out there at the time. And we would have great artists come in. And Nirvana was one of them. U2 was one of them. The Bodines, when they came out with a new album, was another album that we featured. And, it was pretty cool. I mean, it was, that was a time where people really got excited about music and got excited about CDs and LPs that were coming out at the time. It was a cool time. It was the early 90s. You know, like now it's so different when you're getting albums downloaded digitally. It's not as exciting as it was back then, you know. Like it was cool to have a new album come out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Dave, you mentioned Hungry. Where are the late night eats that you're going to go to after this?
What? Hungry? I know. My son is driving right now. My 17-year-old son, and we're driving through downtown Lake Geneva. We're on vacation. We're both very hungry. We might be heading to Culver's. at the end of the night.
Much love to that that tuna fish sandwich. That is some good Culver's action.
Oh,
right
gross.
There.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I'll probably do a burger or something. Like, oh, tuna fish doesn't sound good at 2 o'clock in the morning.
My stomach just did a backflip just thinking about it. Of all things, the tuna fish sandwich.
We went through this the other night on Patty and Andrea's show about how much hate I got as a child for liking tuna fish sandwiches. And
really? You were the only one?
I was the only one.
Make that. I like tuna fish sandwich,
oh,
too.
Man.
Oh, they're good. A little mayonnaise in there.
A little mayo.
Yeah, mayo, tuna fish, of course, got to have it drained, and then some hard-boiled eggs chopped up in it.
All right, now we're talking crazy. Now, all right.
Hard-boiled eggs, even. Oh, my God.
It sounds like something Nirvana made Dave eat on the road when you guys were in the middle of nowhere.
Dave?
You know, Roger, I just wanted to call tonight to make sure you weren't on time. And I think we accomplished that.
Yes.
2:37. We completely screwed you up again.
Well, that's all right. He got screwed up at the beginning. We were like 6 minutes late to start with.
It's par for course for the show. Dave, thank you so much for letting me take over the seat tonight, and I will hope to do you well.
You're great, buddy. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're there tonight, buddy. Steer the ship, buddy. That's all I need you to do. Steer the ship.
I will. Thanks, Dave, and say hi to Josh for me, too.
All right, see you, buddy.
All right, take care. That was the great, great Dave Plyer. Oh, man, I love that guy. He's a good person.
Oh, man, I love Dave, man.
Tuna fish and Nirvana, man. I'm laughing still. All right, let's laugh all the way to news with our good friend Roger Badish.
Remember that first day, record player in my hand, found it in the storage room and I had stashed it in my bag, nothing good to play on it or so I had supposed. Ladies choir 45, 33 was just too slow. But
all right, that is Slow-Mo with the song Cotton Candy. That's Sam Fish Glasser, who sent me his SoundCloud link when we were asking for some Chicago artists. And that's what we're talking about right now. This is Michael Heideman in for Dave Plyer here on WGN Radio. It's crazy. So I just got to the station after playing 4 hours of music at this bar called Bill's Bar and Burger, which is on Hubbard Street here in downtown Chicago. And to be honest, I thought I was going to have no energy, but I'm so amped up because we're talking about music. I'm sitting here with Domati Pongo of WGN Radio, our music aficionado, our newsman. This guy does it all. And that's the cool thing. It's like, so I host this open mic every single Saturday from 9 to midnight, and it focuses on musicians and comedians here in Chicago. And it's just great to see how these people are just coming into their craft and how they come in with original songs and they're so nervous about what they're doing. And these comedians are like penning these jokes on their pads of paper and just sitting there in like silence and just trying to get this energy from a crowd that you've never met before. And that's a beautiful thing about open mics.
It's a beautiful thing. And what's interesting, you have a lot of artists who are great in studio, but oftentimes when they begin to perform these songs out, you might have something that captures the ear differently in a live setting than it did in the studio. Mm-hmm. Or you might have that acoustic version of a song that, you know, you have the instrumentation and that big production in the studio, but when you do it acoustically, there's something different that captures the ear about these lyrics and all. And you only get that when you do that.
Yeah.
When you do that live.
That's so interesting that you say that too, because I mean, this is the most general of examples, but a lot of people weren't even turned on to Nirvana until they put out that Unplugged album on MTV. And then everyone was like, wow, they're really deep, because they play acoustically. And that's what it's the cool thing. I speak to a lot of music artists, and I spoke to this one guy from this band called Jukebox the Ghost.
Okay.
And he said something very interesting. I go, what's the difference between playing in your bedroom and playing out in front of people, like playing in open mics or when you were practicing or coming up? And he goes, well, playing in your room is fun, but playing in front of people is like 10 practices in once. because you're just so nervous.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about living here in Chicago, because we have all these opportunities to go and play music. And I'm sure if you live in Milwaukee or Los Angeles or New York, it's the same way. But here in Chicago, there's a little bit something different. And Domati, you host the Artist Lounge here in Chicago every month, and you just came from an open mic.
Yes.
Now, what's your experience? Have you ever seen anybody who you said, wow, they've got it? If they just like keep pushing at these open mics, they're going to become something.
There are a few people I feel that way about. Keir Tremell, strong vocalist, strong jazz influences, and really moves by the beat of her own drum. And she started off posting these videos online of her singing. She has a bald head. She has alopecia, so her hair doesn't grow in spots. So she finally got bold enough to just go completely bald. She posted a video singing Erykah Badu song, just belting it out. Gets a million views online.
Wow.
But she doesn't. She's been performing, you know, at family functions and in different spaces, you know, in the south suburbs and in some spots over the city, but hadn't really branched out. And the Artist Lounge was one of the first places. And she began to branch out and began to network. Make a long story short, earlier today, or rather Saturday, she performed the national anthem at the Pritzker Pavilion in front of thousands ahead of Ramsey Lewis's last performance at the Chicago Jazz Festival.
Come on, man. That is a big leap.
That is a big leap. And it starts, and I can't lay claim to it, just the open mic, but it builds your confidence, because then you see other open micers and you're like, you see where you fit as far as what where your progression goes. Everyone starts at a place, and someone who might have been just so crazy good to you, some time goes past and you're like, oh, now we're peers. Okay. And then you get that paid gig, then you get that gig. And a lot of times, as you know, you go to open mic scouting for talent to see who you'll invite to yours, and then who you'll pay to feature at yours as a headliner. And these are just, and that's how the ecosystem works, man.
Yeah, it's a great community that you can build from these open mics. And speaking of community, I'd love to hear from our listeners to see what kind of experiences they've had. Call us at 312-981-7200, or you can text us at that same number, 312-981-7200, and let me know what you guys are feeling about, you know, being in Chicago. Does it make you nervous? Are you still getting that kind of practice and that great sense of creativity that you can't really muster in your bedroom? I'd love to hear those kind of stories.
That's a good story. That's a good question to ask. And those folks who went to a bar and just heard this random band playing and was captivated and said, yo, what is that, a cover band? No, that's our record, and we've got a CD here. And Dave alluded to this. Now, in the 90s, when he was moving around with Led Zeppelin and Nirvana, the industry was different. Now things are digital. I'm not one of those people that laments the days of physical CDs, except for the fact, you go to live shows, people want to leave with something. So for open micers, Mike, how do you make sure that you still allow them to leave with your music, but don't seem like a dinosaur when you're pulling out that CD? I mean, I gave my CD to say, he didn't even have a CD player in his car. He didn't know what to do with it. But like, it's kind of like a souvenir. You want to leave with something. I can give you my SoundCloud link, and you can follow me on Instagram and tap the link in my bio, but that's not the same.
It's, people want tangible stuff. And this alludes to also what we talked about last time that we got a million listener calls about, was the fact that people still want to hold vinyls and look at the, photos on the vinyl or on the CD and hang that poster on your wall. And that's really interesting. The SoundCloud link doesn't work for me. I love it. I respect it. I see what the artist is doing. But to be honest, I'm not going to go through a hyperlink to see your music.
I'm not doing it.
If you give me like a flash drive, also, it's going to be weird.
I'm not going anywhere to listen to music. And not because I don't want to, but because if you are really sincerely a part of my rotation, I have to have the music wherever I'm already listening to music. Like if I can create a Spotify playlist and you're on there, we're good. I'm on Tidal. Tidal's that's my preferred app. If your music isn't on Tidal, I go to that SoundCloud link if I really want to hear your song, or maybe when I first listen to it. But no matter how much I like it, if it's not already in the places where I'm listening to it, and I've got to listen to it back to back with other records. Like I've been listening to Eminem's album all day. And just to clear my musical palate, I'm going to some local artists, listening to the difference in the mixes and seeing how far off the local acts are from the major acts. And you need that. You need that. You need your music on Apple Music and Tidal and all of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how do Chicago artists get their music across to the audience that to the audiences that they want to reach? Right. Is it through Instagram links? Is it through CDs still? Is there some crazy person out there who's handing out full vinyls for free? I don't know what's going on.
That would be a killer marketing plan.
Wouldn't it be?
Come on. What? Somebody gave out free vinyl of their records?
Okay, but where would you'd be like, do I spend this in my car?
Exactly. You have to have like a QR code on top of it just to even it out. But
if I could jump in here,
sure.
that is how the music studios used to, back when they ruled the music industry in the days of old, when you had rock and roll radio stations and stuff, and it's still happening on music stations now. But that has the greatest one-time reach is radio. And so the stations get free vinyl or CDs or downloads or whatever the format that they want. And that is how artists, if they're lucky, because not everyone gets that chance, they're lucky to get their song out there in front of hundreds of thousands of people in a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, you're absolutely right. And it doesn't stop, Raj, with music. Just you bring up a good point. That hand-to-hand, a lot of the ways when we first started the Artist Lounge to get people out, started the Instagram, we promoted on Instagram, all of that, and Facebook, but it was hand-to-hand flyers. We went to open mics with physical handbills still work. When I look you in the eye and I hand it to you, you have to look me in the face and say, yes, I'm coming, or no, I'm not. And that's a much harder conversation than ignoring my Facebook comment. So, you know.
Speaking of Domati, I have a flyer to give you for next week's show at Bill's on Saturday. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Call us 312-981-7200. Join in the conversation.
The cards were stacked from the very start, and the odds were good on your heart. So I took a chance on what we...
That is Valentine Bennett with the song Better Luck Next Time, a great Chicago artist. He's from the Northwest suburbs. He plays a lot of shows out in McHenry. We've had him on the Patty Vasquez with Andrea Darlis show. Good all-around guy. A lot of looping pedals that he uses, and I really dig his music, so thanks for sending that in, Valentine. Again, if you want to send in your music, you can reach me, you can search me on Facebook at Michael Heidemann. I almost forgot my own name. At Michael Heidemann, or you can find me over at Sound Sessions Podcast on WGNRadio.com.
That's because you've got so many monikers.
I do.
You have so many different identities.
Yes, I play music around the city as the one and only Michael J. Foxy. And sometimes I do comedy as Clem Walters.
Really?
No.
I was going to say, what? I wouldn't be surprised if you did do some comedy. I see you got the chops.
All right, so let's check out some of our text messages we have rolling through. Again, you can text us at 312-981-7200. From the 262, Led Zepp rules. You rule, my friend. You rule. From the 630, great show tonight. I didn't think I could love Domati any more than I already did.
Oh, wow.
You got some fans out
there. That is the nicest thing to say. Thank you.
From the 630, we have, do you know the band Seventh Heaven? They are amazing.
No.
Well, this is why you should call in and turn us on to them. What makes them so amazing? Oh, and from the 920, you too, Michael. Oh, thank you very much for adding me in there. I know Domati is a lot more cool, and his voice is a lot more...
they get Michael all the time, so I just sprinkle in every now and then and disappear so they can miss me. That's all. It's a method to the madness.
Well, we were talking a little bit about before about open mics and the power of creativity,
yes,
and seeing these artists that you're like, wow, that guy with an acoustic guitar is going to go places. And sometimes there's some different artists. There's a lot of rappers that come through, especially I'm sure that at the Artist Lounge you've seen a lot of great hip-hop artists that roll through.
Yeah, it's really hip-hop heavy. A lot of poets. We probably skew more toward poets than singers, than rappers. A lot of MCs, a lot of rappers. And we had a first comedy feature. Comedian B. Cole was the feature for this week. He's been on Def Comedy Jam and Comic View, and just a phenomenal guy, and is still attainable, still in Chicago, but making waves.
That is the wild thing, because if you think about it, we're going to have comedians come in in the next few minutes, around 3 o'clock, to talk about comedy and just the fact that we live in this hub of funny people. Think about the people who were at open mics: Hannibal Buress,
yes,
Chris Redd, who's on SNL now, T.J. Miller. They all just open micers, just doing these kind of shows that you and I host.
And that's how you work out the material. I'm sure they'll say it, and I'm only saying this because I hear them say it about how they'll work out different series of 5-minute sets before they put out their hour. And you figure out that. One comic told me, and I thought this was funny because it related very well to music, about how you'll be on the way to telling a joke and people laugh before he got to the punchline. Mm-hmm. So he knew, oh, if I drive this up, if I really, really drive this point, I can make this skit even more funnier, add different things to the show, different elements. But you only get that after seeing the reaction out there in the field. So yeah, it's interesting stuff, man.
I love it because you made me think of something. And right here in my hands, folks, I have the sign up sheet from tonight's open mic.
What?
Anyway, you know what the heck? Let's just give some of these artists some shout outs.
Show some love, yeah.
So we had a great guy named David Bond who played some great guitar music. We had the band The Art, with WGN's Bob Coyne, our sales guy. He played some songs too tonight, which was fantastic. And then, of course, the comedy side of things, which goes on from 11 to 12 a.m. at Bill's every single Saturday night here in Chicago. We had great artists like Charlie Toker, Thomas Jarrett, Matt Weston, Vic Pandya, Naz Nazim, Harold Bridges, Eric Emerson, and Alex Olinger. These guys, you know, these are people and names that you might hear so much about in the next few years. So just keep
that's
your
amazing
eyes
stuff. Keep my eyes peeled. I've got to come. Okay, so when is your show?
It's on Saturday, every Saturday from 9 until midnight on 30 East Hubbard Street here in Chicago. When's your show?
So mine, the Artist Lounge, is whenever I get an off day.
So,
we used to do it. So yeah, so we used to do, I know, so never. We used to do the Artist Lounge every other Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I came here to WGN Radio. I had a lot of other projects going on. And we thought it was funner to do them as pop-up events. So we did a pop-up event at Champ Shoe Store on State Street.
Nice.
We did a pop-up at a community center on the west side, mm-hmm, and gave away some school supplies and stuff. So we do just different, fun, different things. And so this last one was on the south side at the Clio Center, mm-hmm, at 55th in Michigan. So another community center. So we just pop up at art galleries, community centers, and shoe stores sometimes.
But it's all about building that community, and you're doing it the right way because you're going to the people, and then instead of them, you know, going out of their way for you, which is a beautiful thing.
Thank you. So if you guys want to stay abreast of any shows coming up, sign up for my mailing list at dometi.net. dometi.net is the website. And just tune in. And right there when you get there, it'll let you sign up. And when those shows come up, I'll be sure to email you about it.
Oh, I love it, man. Hey, do you want to stay around for like 15 more minutes and we can open up the music lounge and talk about a few music topics before you head out?
Thought you never asked.
Do you got some time?
I thought you never asked. I have nothing but time. What is it, 3 a.m.? Make myself comfortable. Yes, I can stick around.
Yes, it is 3 a.m. And in fact, we're going to go up to the news for the first time tonight on time. So the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Welcome back, WGN listeners. This is your host, Michael Heidemann. I'm in for Dave Plyer tonight. The amazing lullaby sounds you were just listening to was from the Chicago group Edwin with their song Uncontrollable Pride. You can find them on Instagram, on SoundCloud. They just put out a new album with the producer who did a lot of this. He's one of the most well-known producers. I'm blanking on the name of the artist he worked with, but I think it was Broken Bells or something like that. And just go and check them out. They're an amazing group. If you have any music you want to send me, you can send it to me on Facebook at Michael Heidemann, or you can search me on WGN at Michael Heidemann. But back to the action. We have Domati Pongo sitting here with me. Domati, thanks for staying a few extra minutes.
No problem. No, thank you for covering my meter.
It's so
we didn't
expensive.
Talk about that off air, but you've just committed, so yeah.
It's so darn expensive to live here in the city, and just, oh man, I'm sorry, that parking stinks. Carl Amari was saying that his meter only went to 230, otherwise he would have stayed. So
that's what it was. Yes. That's his excuse. That's it, Carl. Okay, that's what you're going with. All right.
We're talking music. Be sure to join the conversation at 312-981-7200. Well, you can text us at that same line, 312-981-7200. And I'm kind of very excited right now. We're talking open mics, and I have some of the best comedians in Chicago who I'm sure have had their foot in an open mic or two. We have Tyler Fowler, Paige Blair, and Vic Pandya. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Wait, so we do have to feed the meter? That's
Paige is like, back to that my car getting towed thing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh on there. Did you guys park in the lower level, or did you park on the street?
Street.
Okay. That's probably smart.
I thought you were like, okay, well, your car is for sure gone. Well, so,
say goodbye to it.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you guys. So how's your night going? How's your week been? We're talking open mics. Have you guys gone to any open mics, played any shows over the past week that have been particularly good?
Where do we begin?
We had a show last night at the Laugh Factory called Drink Date Laugh. It was pretty fun. Paul Farvar's on that. He produced
it. Paul Farvar, great WGN regular and co-host of Two Guys, One Album here on WGN. Mm-hmm. Okay, how was that?
Yeah, it was at the Laugh Factory last night. It was a good show. We had, it's audience participation, so mm-hmm. it's always hit or miss if people are willing to tell their secrets or not. And last night people were very loose with their show.
We're breaking down. So this is improv? Is it an improv show, or how does it work?
It's stand-up and then audience engagement, and then at the end they play a game, like a contestant game.
Give us a scenario. Like, what's something you guys have done? Like, what is the...
Okay, so...
That we can say on the radio.
Yeah, I was just going to say... Well, it's in public. I don't know if it's getting that.
If you look at the Instagram page, there's some interesting question responses.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they'll do, like, video dating. Like, they'll do a 30-second pitch about why somebody should date them. An audience member will do that.
Oh, wow.
On stage.
Wow.
They really sell themselves.
What's your Instagram?
The Instagram...
is that what happens?
More or less.
Pumping in the laugh track. Good.
Like yeah. All right, right on. That's a really cool. popular cool show stuff. Here in Chicago,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Cool.
How about you, Tyler?
I've had the weirdest night of like really shows that I'm feeling. It's one of these days as a comedian where you feel way too good about yourself. And I'm like, I need to be taken down a peg. I need to go to an open mic and like and be told I'm terrible. Vic and I did, so we started our night at a woman's 50th birthday party. Her husband hired us to come do comedy for her birthday, which like happens from time to time. We've been doing a lot of this recently. But this guy is so last minute. He hit us up the day before and then it's like, oh, I also haven't picked a restaurant yet where we're having the party. So then he just calls us today and he's like, oh, yeah, we're having it at this restaurant. Just come like do stand up at the table while we're having dinner.
Yeah.
What?
So we are going in what? Just like, this is going to be the worst. Like, it was one of those things as a comedian where you're like, I'm not going to say no. Like, mm-hmm. it's a gig. Like, for sure, I'll do it.
Absolutely.
And we're just assuming it's going to be terrible. But it ended up being kind of great. Like,
considering like how, because the restaurant too, like, we're worried about like, we're bothering other people. Like
the staff,
like,
yeah.
The staff, he's like, yeah, I told the staff. We get there, we're like, hey, so we're the comedians, like, what? Like, no idea. Yeah.
The manager looked like, she's like, they did not teach us this. This is not something we prepared for. Comedians just show up at your restaurant and start, you know. We're like that guy who goes around and does balloon animals. We were like that, but like for comedy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's your birthday, little girl, you know.
Like, and we're like sitting at the bar and people are trying to figure out like who we are.
Yeah.
We're like talking about jokes and like what to do. And these guys are like, are you like raiding the restaurant or like magicians, because we look like
we're both wearing suits. They thought we were doing like undercover boss or something. Yeah. You know.
wait so what is the difference between like restaurant kitchen table funny and stand-up comedy?
So we
funny?
Still did stand-up because we originally, when he said restaurant, we just assumed it'd be like a private
room or something,
right? Which would have been fine. Then it's like just a normal show. Mm-hmm. But this is like, we're in the middle of a restaurant
and you're doing your bit,
and Jeff. You're doing bits, but
it's also much more like conversational, so we kind of had to be like, we're having dinner with them, because also these people, you can't treat it like a stand-up show where like you have to be quiet because they're having dinner with their friends.
Right.
So we'd be telling a joke and then they would just like start a conversation with us. Like, Vic's like, so I live in Chicago, like a setup to a joke, and they're like, oh, where do you live?
Yeah.
But it ended up being tons of fun. Like, it's all about, like, they were nice people and they were there to have a good time. So they ended up being, like, a great audience and, like, better than some audiences. So for, like, you know, it proved that you can do comedy literally anywhere.
Literally,
you
know? Anywhere. And also, like I was going to say, Tyler was saying, we're going to do the show.
Oh, for
regardless.
Sure.
Because at the bringing it full circle, it's better than an open mic, which is our philosophy for taking gigs. It's like, hey, man, that was still better than an open mic.
Yeah. Right.
That's still time. And it was great.
And it ended up being really good. Yeah.
But it was very weird. I mean, the whole time up to it, we're like, this could be terrible. We're just prepping ourselves mentally.
Yeah.
And I was like opening, and I was just like, hey, guys, we're not going to take too much of your time. We've got a gig at the Cheesecake Factory next door.
Can I have a bite of that bread?
Yeah, we're doing the route. You know, they have bottomless steak fries over at Red Robin. We got to get over there, you know.
So we rolled with it.
Yeah.
We rolled with it.
It was fun.
That kind of ties us back to what we were speaking about a little bit before, about doing open mics and just going to your audience and building that community. Toma T, you said you did a lot of pop-up shops. Would you ever do one at somebody's table for dinner?
Oh, man. I absolutely would. But it's weird because you get more nervous looking at a group of five than you do at a group of 500.
You think
Yeah, for me. Yeah? I get more. I just hosted
just
an event.
Just because it's more intimate?
Something more. Well, their faces. They give you these blank stares. Yeah. That's just different. When it's a group of 500, I don't know why. I don't know if you just don't notice everyone individually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's different. So what I do to knock the nerves off a little bit, if I have time before a set, I'm not a comedian. I just host and, you know, I rap and other things. And so I
You do it all, man. Don't be saying
you tried to downplay that a little bit. You're like, it's no big deal. Here's my SoundCloud.
No, because you guys are funny for real. So like, I'm a comedian. You guys are going to be like, yeah, that's all you got? No. But I try to shake my hand, shake everyone's hand before the show. So I'm like, well, if they look at me, smile, and like me, maybe they won't look at me stone-faced. Mm-hmm. When I'm up there,
it's, a lot of pressure on the people in the five people in an audience. Like, if Tyler and I met in an open mic with four other people, and it was like, then all your jokes land on them, or all your reactions, and if one of them's not paying attention, you're like,
it's like painfully obvious.
It's different than bombing in a full room.
But we talk about this too. Like, you just need an anchor. You need one good person. If you have one person, especially if you can see them, if one person's into it, one person's laughing, I'm like, dude, I can do a half hour for this one person. Absolutely. Like, totally.
Oh, there. So we were talking about the open mic that I hosted before this show. And Vic, you know, you were there and you performed and you crushed. And you didn't need my fake laughter, but my jaw hurt so much.
I was going to say, supportive laughter.
I mean, we've run open mics before, and like we still do like a couple here and there, but we were running like a weekly, and it's tough to be excited.
But I also
I was just talking about that. I used to run a weekly. Yeah. It's terrible.
Well, now after some point too, I mean, now we're just to the point where it's like, I mean, you got to know too. It's feedback. The whole point of the mic is to let people know. So it's like, if you hear nothing, it's like,
it's honest feedback.
Yeah, it's honest feedback. Yeah. We're not gonna roast you or anything, but we're just gonna. Well, that's what. Yeah, it depends if it's who it is. Who
well, Michael, now that makes me want to come to your open mic because I know I'll get your guaranteed pity laugh. Yeah. Yes. Which you're like, I assume you have a great supportive laugh.
Yes, it's very good. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
But it's also because your position, I was going to tell you, your position on where you sit on stage, because he's like right on stage.
Yeah.
So he has to be.
There's nowhere to run.
There's nowhere. You have to be like happy and upbeat. But I'm like, oh, just go on. Like, well, you should start the mic and then just leave. Yeah. That would be great. And then it's just so you can do whatever you want.
That makes you, because with Instagram, like, you think you're supportive. You think you were just behind the stage just looking. Wait till you look at those Instagram videos and you see yourself stale-faced while somebody is like doing their best material. Yeah. Oh my God, it's painful.
It's happened before. You know, I want to go into what we do to prep to get ourselves ready for the stage. And let's take a quick break. We're going to come on back. Again, if there's any listeners out there who, if you do an open mic and you kind of shake the nerves out in a very interesting way, maybe you do breathing exercises, maybe you sing a song, chew gum, smoke a cigarette, I don't know, whatever you do, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll be back in a minute here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to WGN. I'm your host, Michael Heidemann, in for Dave Plyer. Oh, yeah. That's some good, good pop music right there from J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound. Fantastic Chicago band. It's called the band. Yeah, it's the song called I Get High. And we were talking a little bit off air about what you do to prep for a show or not get nervous. Some people might do that. Not me.
Oh, man, that would make me a million times more nervous.
Same. Right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
So we're talking open mics. Doma T hosts an open mic whenever he has the chance. It's called the Artist Lounge.
Called the Artist Lounge, yes. That is the best promo ever. When is it? Nah.
What I feel like, really, yeah.
Yeah, what I feel like it, yeah.
Just stay in touch with him. Give him a call. Give him a text.
Yeah, domati.net, domati.net.
And I host one over at Bill's every Saturday from 9 to midnight. Vic, you were just there. Now, Vic, when you were performing, did you do anything to get yourself prepped for an open mic or a show? Do you like meditate or do any breathing exercises?
I think the benefit of doing like a show or mic is like you're probably not going to be the first one up, so you kind of can watch the room, see how people are reading. Like that room immediately when I walked in, I was like, this is going to be weird.
Like, yes, it's a brand new open mic, yeah. By the way. It's only 3 weeks in, and it's the weirdest layout because it's a full bar. I think you, not to steal one of your jokes, but you referenced the worst episode of Cheers.
Yeah. I was like, this is like an episode of Cheers, but no one wants to be here. Because everyone was like, there was people there, but you have to also find out like who wants to be involved. Like, I could tell there's people way at the back who were like listening, but they weren't like feeling they were being heard, like talked to. So you have to like engage those folks to kind of make it better for you. Right. Like, yeah. So a lot of the comics were like hanging back, but I like went right up on the bar and like literally just like was on it and just was talking to those people. Because there's another girl who was like the anchor, like Tyler was saying. There's one anchor. Mm-hmm. She was like laughing at every joke. She was really attentive. So I was like making eye contact with her a lot. And like that was who I was like starting with, because otherwise, if you're doing jokes and it's like you do this big setup and a punchline and it's dead, then internally you're gonna like lose confidence.
Yeah, right.
Like a lot of times that's what happens when you see like a comic will like waver on stage, is because they just didn't get the reaction they thought they would. It's like the expectation wasn't what they thought it was gonna be. Right.
So early on, you find that person to lock eyes with. Is that one of the things to get the nerves out? Or what?
That makes it sound a lot creepier. But. Yeah.
Get these jokes.
No, it's kind of like you try to like try to pick your anchor and also try to pick like just try to read the room a little bit. And it's like it's also like understand the stakes too. Like this is an open mic. Like I'm not gonna like get too like worried about it. You know, like there's no reason to get worried. Like because we've been doing this for a little bit, and like open mics are so you can have the best set in the worst set of your life in the same night. Like there's no rhyme or reason a lot of times, so you can't get too in your head about it. You have to like learn to let it go, but that's easier said than done, especially when you start, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Do you guys ever think that maybe that classic tale of the almost famous of the record executive or the comedy booker for SNL is sitting in the audience, I need to have the best show of my life?
Not in an open mic, generally.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
But at showcases,
not.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. You know, at shows. But I think open mics are fun because you can test stuff out that you've been thinking in your head, and there's really no consequence for how it goes.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, booked you for it. They're just, like, giving you the time and the space. So it's really, I think it's pretty freeing.
Risks.
You can do weird stuff, and it's almost better for the people that are there watching if you do.
That's so true, because, like Vic was saying, you really need to connect with your audience, because if you let the joke fall on itself, it's always going to fall flat, because people need to connect with you to want to laugh. They want to be your partner. They want to be part of the joke rather than, you know, this is really funny. It worked before. Why aren't you people laughing? You all suck. And and that's what we get a lot of open micers doing. And then you see somebody who comes up with energy like Vic or Tyler or Paige, and they connect and you can feel it in the room. And that's what gets people really excited about it. So, Tyler, what do you do to prep for getting on stage?
Yeah, that's such a good question, man. I think it's a lot of what Vic was saying is like reading the room. If I can find something that I can relate to these people on, like just exactly what you're saying about connecting with them, is like if there's something that we all can agree that's happening right now, like instantly I know like I can, within a minute of being like starting talking, like we're all suddenly friends. Like I'm not just this strange guy. You're like, why is this honky talking? Like, what's happening? Is that Ellen DeGeneres? What is this?
That's what I'm always thinking.
Yeah. Mostly when people see me, they're like, what weird washed up celebrity is that? No. I didn't mean to say Ellen DeGeneres is washed up. I didn't mean that at all.
Those were two separate comments.
This is how I do comedy. I'll just dig myself in a hole real fast at the beginning.
You know, anytime you mention Ellen failing, it's just... She's coming down for us.
Yeah.
How about you, Paige? What do you do to prep for a big show?
For a big show, I listen to a lot of rap music, actually. Like, I'll have headphones on the way to the show and just, like... Just wanting your confidence to be as high as possible during that thing. Definitely, like, saying this, running the set through my head over and over and over again, and just, like, trying to mentally visualize myself up there doing really well and knowing that everyone in the audience wants me to do well and that they're all my friends and that they're, like, here to support me. I, like, look in the mirror a lot and just, like, you can do this.
Yes. You get real zen about it. I always wish I could be that person who just listens to, like, hardcore rap music until the moment I walk on stage. Like, I want to be that, like, so cool that I can just be like, yeah, I'm awesome. But I would, like, whenever I hear a song, a rap song I really like, I'm like, dude, I should play this right before I go on stage. I'd be so hyped.
Yeah.
But I would more be like, I don't know, I think I have to pee a little bit.
I'm curious, Paige. What is the rap song that does it for you? Like, what's that record?
Good question.
So I listen to Cardi B a lot, like the whole record, like She Bad especially.
Hey, I see you. Yeah. It's funny because I'm on air, I do news here, uh-huh. and I've got one AirPod in one ear. And the news in the other. So I'm on there like, you know, today we're the 79th. And then in my other ear is like Cardi B saying something that I hope doesn't go on air. Like,
That would terrify me. Yeah, that slips out.
The scariest thing. So you're going to name a second song.
Yeah, Kevin Gates, Two Phones. I used to have two phones. Okay. And that was my opener. So I would listen to that a lot. It just made me feel cool. I don't know. Whatever it takes to feel cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I think actually that rap algorithm is fun because we do a lot of like, we'll just say like rap lines, but just not in context.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the funnest thing.
Just like in conversation.
In conversation. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, I got two phones. Like one, I'm not going to say it on air, but like just like in that matter of fact way. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's like, this is a really motivating lyric right here, you know? And it makes you feel good. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to take that. I get what they're saying right now, you know? I feel it.
But thinking about that, like even something that Vic just censoring himself just there just made me think about it. At open mics, you said you can take risks, but can you with social media? Like, are you ever wondered if you take a risk, and even if you don't say, maybe it's not something off color, maybe it's you just bomb and it's somebody streaming live. Do you ever wonder about that, or is it a non-factor?
Interesting.
You can usually tell. I mean, no one should have the desire to share that publicly. Like, if no one's like, this is going to be the Instagram Live that is going to be so popular, it's like, this is an open mic. Mm-hmm. People who are in the room don't want to see this.
Yeah.
So no one online is like, you know what would be great right now? An open mic that I'm not at. But there are times where it's painfully obvious when someone starts doing that. If you're like, and then you see someone like lift up their phone, you're like, well, here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of know, you can be like, I'm going to stop, or be like, dude, stop. Turning your phone off. Like, this is not, get out of here.
Right. Oh, man. I've never felt more nervous when I was doing an open mic about 2 weeks ago, and I did this thing where if people get really nervous and they want to sing a song, but you know they don't want to get up and play guitar or something, I have them drop $5 in and I'll play whatever song they want to play and they can sing along to it. And somebody requested Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, the classics, of course, the hits.
All the hits. And I only had my acoustic guitar and I played it, and then I saw somebody in the audience just as I'm just a dumpster truck just going through this song, lifting up their phones and just slowly recording. And I'm like, this is going to be somewhere that I don't want it to be. Yeah. So you got to be weary of that kind of stuff, I imagine.
Yeah, and also who's like, it's likely going to be another comic at an open mic doing it. So like, the only people who are going to see it is other comics. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, I think it's also like, you know, you're worried about like, if you're bombing or whatever. But again, like once you've been doing this in the scene enough, like people know that this is an open mic too. Like if they see a video of you bombing a mic, if you've done well at shows and other things, like your reputation will start to like be out there enough. Like now it's like an open mics, like, I just do premises now. I don't even tell full jokes. I'm like, I'm not doing a full joke.
I didn't know you even told full jokes at shows. Yeah. I've been waiting. I've known you for what, 3 years now? I've been waiting for a joke.
He's been waiting.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But just run premises. That way you're like making the best use of your time, and you're like, it's not. Mm-hmm. And people know, like, they're like, we all know it's a weird open mic. And you attention span is so, it's so hard to get people's attention to open mic.
Yeah.
You almost have to like rapid fire, just like, do five things. And it's like, for comics especially, like they're worried about their own set, they're like looking at their notes, like there's so many distractions. So if like you spend 3 minutes telling this great story and then they tune out somewhere during the story and your punchline comes and then no one reacts and you're like, I'm gonna kill myself.
I already tuned out there.
See, you didn't even hear the end of that sentence.
Exactly. Crazy. No, but I think that is strange when you're performing for comics. It can kind of alter the, I mean, if they're your audience and you're trying to affect them, comics aren't normal people. So it's like sometimes the mics aren't good radars for what an actual audience is gonna laugh at.
Yep.
Very true.
And it's a strange way to navigate because you want to do well, especially in front of your peers, but you also need to like get the jokes out. And
like there are so many open mics that it's like all comics where if you get like a shrug or a head nod or like a huh, that's a standing ovation. No, 100%. Like that's if I get any kind of, if I get an eyebrow raise, I'm like, I'm killing. I'm this is material. Yeah,
you're like,
because for real human
people
who like have love in their hearts, like when they hear a joke, they're like, wow, laughter. For comedians, they're like, he's got something. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They're very, also comedians like look at it very technically. They're like, okay.
Like, the structure could have been better, but I do like his word choice. Yeah.
It's like when you're...
We're going to dive into a little bit more of some classic jokes. In fact, I was thinking maybe we could open up the listener lines to see if they had any jokes to give to our comedic panel here. If you have any dad jokes, I got a list right in front of me. We're going to give away a pizza, a Lou Malnati's pizza, to the person with the best dad joke as aforementioned by our panel, and they're going to decide who will win. But we are speaking to Doma Tipongo, Paige Blair, Tyler Fowler, and Vic Pandya here tonight on WGN Radio. It is 3:30, though, so we're going to take this straight to the news with our man, Roger Badish. Back to WGN Radio. That great punk rock sound you're listening to right now is Archie Powell and the Exports, one of my favorite Chicago groups. That's their Malort Xmas song, which one of the greatest songs about Malort I think that ever was written.
Such a specific.
Chicago.
Right? Well, we were talking about jokes. We have our classic, some of the finest comedians here in Chicago with me, Paige Blair, Tyler Fowler, Vic Pandya, and of course we got Doma Tipongo, who's our music aficionado, our newsman here at WGN, sticking around with me. We put out to listeners, we wanted to hear the best dad jokes because there's nothing better than a great classic dad joke. It brings people together, and gosh darn it, we love them. And you know, to lead into this, I wanted to just point out something. Do you guys ever watch Jimmy Fallon?
Yes.
Sometimes he's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he worked hard. He does what he does. He has a whole team of writers. But have you guys noticed that he's been telling the same joke over and over again for the last like 10 years? Well, we have a little segment here, a little clip that I wanted to play for you to show you how you can kind of overdo a joke.
Time for screen grabs. Here we go.
Makes me want a screen grab.
Next one is from Ellen Lee in Tucson, Arizona. It's one of those CAPTCHA things. You know those squiggly words you have to type in before you can buy tickets to concerts and stuff? Here, check this one out here. Gorilla hump.
Honey, I'm about to get those Katy Perry tickets. And don't come in here. Don't come in the office. Oh, boy.
This next one was sent in to us by Lindsay Williams in Birmingham, Alabama. It's one of those CAPTCHA things. Mm-hmm. You know those like squiggly words you have to type in before you can buy tickets to concerts and stuff like that? It's one of those CAPTCHA things. You know those things, squiggle words you got to type in like in order to like get tickets to a concert or something? It's one of those CAPTCHA things. You know the squiggly words you have to type in before you can buy tickets to concerts and stuff? Check this out. My a-hole closes.
I hope we can play that on air. but basically what it goes into, and we can keep playing it, it's basically he just takes the same premise every single time and uses some kind of sexual innuendo, like, you know, what you just heard, and then invites his wife into, hey, you gotta come and check out this thing over here in my den, every single time, and it's like, oh man, dude, come on, just keep it fresh. So, I thought we could start it off. We have a caller on the line, Robert, who has a great dad joke with us. I'm gonna start the fire a little bit here for our panel of comedians. So, first of all, what do you guys call a fake noodle? An impasta.
I don't like that. Oh, God. Tyler's that's getting good. Way too excited about this.
That's good. That
was
good.
Tyler loves carbs. Tyler loves carbs.
I love carbs and a good dad joke. This guy knows the way to my heart.
Tyler, how does a penguin build its house? It glues it together.
Oh!
It glues it together. Well, let's see if Robert can up at the ante a little bit here. Robert, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Great show as always. Always. My wife thinks I'm nuts for waking up in the middle of the night to listen to you guys. You always amaze me, and you're the best.
Oh, Robert. Right. You might have already won.
No,
that was the joke. That was it. Joke's on you, losers. Click. Yeah.
All right, Robert, let's hear it.
Okay, so when you get older, about the 90s, my dad always wakes up, and he has to take a piss in the middle of the night. For the last few nights, he comes back and tells my mom, he says, "The sweetheart, God is with me." She goes, "Oh, well, what's wrong?" I'm telling you, every time I wake up to take a piss, the light automatically goes on. And when I leave, the light automatically goes off. She goes, that's it. We're taking you to the doctor. She goes, Doc, please tell me. Well, what's going on? He goes, he's okay. He's just been pissing in the refrigerator.
Okay, I see where you are.
Dirty dad.
All right. Now, Robert, you're going to have the absolute pleasure of being your joke judged on by our panel, almost American Idol style. So, Vic, what'd you think of the joke?
I almost left the room. That was terrible. That was Simon Cowell of the group.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a dad joke fan. I don't like it.
Okay.
That was okay. It was... I knew. I've heard the joke before.
Yeah, I'd heard the setup.
Right,
so
the setup.
Yeah,
yeah. I think there's another way it's been done, like not the refrigerator. It's like the closet or something, or like something like that. But
that's what makes it a dad joke.
Yes.
You had to have heard
it's repeatable. Yeah.
Yes, a variation because your dad always says the same jokes.
Yeah, that's wow. That's a very good point because I enjoyed the joke. Mm-hmm. I give it maybe 6.5 out of 19, but it wasn't dad joke enough for me.
Okay,
I was expecting some kind of pun. I was expecting something a little more groan worthy.
Yeah.
Something a little more childish. Even I might go so far to say. So this was a joke a dad might tell, but not truly a dad joke at heart.
Yeah. Fair. Paige?
I would say if you really want to make it a dad joke, you should laugh at it yourself.
That's key.
That was the one ingredient that was really
missing. Yes, you're right.
I know. And like crack a Bud Light while you're...
Yeah. Well, because most dad jokes are so bad that if the audience isn't groan, it's like, the comic will have to do a very hack laugh afterwards to be like, this is the end of the joke.
That was it.
That's one of my worst habits is I'm like, I don't think they're going to laugh. I should do it.
I'll laugh for you guys.
I'll start it. Let me start the laughing and then you'll know.
Robert, you taking notes?
Are you okay out there, Robert?
No. Because I've always thought about, doing what you do for a living.
Okay.
And taking my life, the stuff that's happened to me. Like, I haven't gotten stoned in, 20 years. And a friend of mine stopped by recently and he said,
oh my God.
He said, you want to get high? And I go, yeah, why not? And literally, I did two hits and I was stoned.
Robert, what the heck are you talking about, man? We're talking about
this is Illinois, Robert.
Going.
Are you calling from Colorado?
No, I'm talking about, please. If Kushner gets in, God bless him, he's going to legalize weed and weed.
Amen.
Oh, wow. I've heard this setup before. What's the punchline again?
Robert, we're going to keep you on balanced hold, my budget. Friend. That was pretty good,
yeah,
right?
He's got the munchies. He deserves a pizza.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we got some more calls rolling in fact.
That was the special interest calling at 3 o'clock in the morning to invade the show.
Lobbyist.
All right, so I'm going to cleanse that palate real quick. We got another joke here from myself. Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
Hmm. Oh, I know this one.
Go ahead.
Because he was outstanding in the field.
Oh, so good. So good. See, Robert, take
okay, I got. What, you want to hear a joke about paper?
Of course.
Never mind, it's terrible.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Thank you. I mean, all weak people.
All right. I feel like that last call was maybe an inappropriate call. We had somebody lined up, but I think they weren't. Hey, Curtis, do you have any dad jokes? Our producer, Curtis? Oh, hold on a sec, Curtis.
I could look up a couple and read them if you want.
Tyler, do you want to just originally do your whole act?
Yeah, I was going to say. I've been building a career on this. Yeah. So,
Nagasaki.
Yeah. Oh.
Paige knows.
You don't just get it for free. Come on now.
All right. That is awesome. All right. Let's take a quick break here. We're going to come back. Again, give us your calls. 312-981-7200. You can text us at that same line. In fact, we'll read some of your texts coming up here if you have some good jokes for us. So far, we have Robert in the lead. Who can beat him? 312-981-7200. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to WGN Radio. My name is Michael Heidemann. I'm in for Dave Plyer. And that smooth sound you're listening to is the band Fever Breaks with their song Body Language, a great band by Chicago's own Colin Peterick. Now, here's a trivia question for my esteemed panel. Who is Colin Peterick's dad?
Who is the son?
Colin Peterick. Jim Peterick, the
I assume the last name is Peterick.
Mr. Peterick.
Yeah.
Speaking of dad jokes, and Jim Peterick is the writer and singer for the 38 special, the band Survivor. Have you ever heard Eye of the Tiger? He wrote that song,
His
son.
Okay.
From Chicago.
Some Chicago trivia there.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the jokes. That's what the people want. Let's give them what they want. The phone lines are jam-packed. The text line is off the chain. Domity, do we have some texts coming in?
We've got a few. Okay, 630. Here's a dad joke for you. A guy wins a chance to ask God three questions. Question one, what's a billion years to you? Answer, 1 minute. Question two, what's a billion dollars to you? Answer, a penny. Question three, can I have a penny? Answer, give me a minute.
Okay, I like that one.
That was cool.
That's trippy. I remember that joke from a homily from my priest in when I went to Catholic school. So
yeah, I was gonna say that's like a not a dad joke. That's a father joke.
Thank you, Father.
That's why you're the professionals. All right, we have another one from the 405.
That was good.
That's literally all I've got.
Improv, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Right. From the 405, three birds sitting on a telephone line. First bird says, my instincts say head east. Second bird says, my instincts say head west. The third bird looks left, looks right, and says, my end stinks, but it don't tell me where to go.
Oh, God. Hey, 630 was better. Shout out to Naperville. Yeah.
All right, we got the phone lines jam-packed. We're going to see who's going to be winning a pizza here tonight. We have our esteemed panel of comedians, Tyler Fowler, Vic Pandya, and Paige Blair here to dissect them and almost American Idol style see who's going to go to Hollywood. But it's just a pizza, not Hollywood. Let's take our next call. We got Monica from Streamwood. Monica, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. So do you have a joke for us?
Yes, I do. I couldn't believe the highway department accused my father of being a criminal. But when I got home, I saw all the signs.
That was good.
That was good.
Good.
Yes.
Monica, pretty solid. Our team, do we have a quick round table of what we thought of her joke?
I liked it. It was short and sweet, like a good dad joke. We were talking about like brevity. I think brevity would score a 10 out of 10. I liked her delivery. She got right into it. No, Monica killed it.
I was going to say all the same things. I think it was just the right length, and the performance really sold it for me. Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paige?
Yeah, and you're a lady, so you sound just like my dad. And I loved it. You went right into it, and I could tell you were like, I think you really went for it, and I respect that about
you. I think confidence is a big thing in a dad joke. Yeah, you gotta really sell it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Monica. What do you think?
Great. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, let me put you on hold. You are in the running, Monica.
For sure.
All right, we got Emmett from Portage Park. Emmett, what's shaking, man?
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Emmett. It's Annette.
Oh, Annette. Annette.
Yeah.
Curtis was playing a joke on us. How's it going, Annette?
That's the first one, right? Yeah, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jesus.
Jesus who?
What, are you kidding me?
That's good.
Okay.
Annette. I love the subtle end. Just like, okay. You know, she's probably done a million of these jokes. All right, Annette, let me put you on hold really quick. You are in the running. That was awesome.
She seemed surprised that they did that well. She was like, oh, okay.
I'm killing.
I have a question for the judges. If you laugh at a dad joke but didn't want to, does that give you extra points?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're forced, you're like, oh, God, I got to laugh.
I did not want to laugh at that.
But you did.
But you did.
But I did.
I agree. That's the begrudging laugh is a category.
Yeah.
That's a new category.
Yeah, like
that's
robot
better even
laugh.
Than a willing laugh.
Right. Yeah.
That earned a robot laugh for sure.
Just a ha ha ha.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I get it, honestly. Are you kidding me?
Like you don't know, like, oh, another Jesus?
Oh. Like.
So I think Paige is saying she didn't like that joke. About the fact that she still doesn't get it. Okay.
All right, we got John from Milwaukee. What's going on, John? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good show tonight.
Thanks, John. So go ahead.
I can't believe after all that crap that they got back together again.
That's my life. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
People say who?
Oh.
Who?
Oh.
Who?
My butt cheek.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, don't. No, this is rule number one of dad jokes. You refuse to apologize. Take no prisoners, never apologize.
Yeah.
John, my man, you are in the running. Thanks for calling, man. And thanks for the kind words, too. That is always giving us some extra brownie points there. We've got one of my favorite callers, Lulu from Fox River Grove. What's shaking, Lulu?
Hey, nothing, Mr. Michael. Good show.
Thank you very much. Okay, you got a joke for us?
I do. What did the dyslexic cop give the woman who was driving drunk?
An IUD.
No!
I got the joke. I really didn't want to say that on the radio.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So I was like, well, my page feel this one.
I can say IUD.
You can say birth control on the radio.
I know, but I didn't want to.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump to that so
I don't
quickly.
Think any... Yeah. I feel like good joke, definitely not dad category, though. They would be
well,
like...
Well, it's like a mother joke. Yeah.
Mom joke.
Yeah, mom category. Joke. Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. Mom joke.
One of the cool moms.
I liked it.
That was
good. Should we go around the round table? Vic, you look perplexed at the moment.
No, I'm... Yeah, it's just... For some reason, I also had that feeling where I'm like, should I say... I knew it. I just didn't know what if I should say it. I don't know why I had that feeling. We shouldn't...
You know, I think the most important thing about this dad joke is not only was it funny and we all got a good reaction out of it, it's starting a good conversation.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Issues.
I'm like, this joke really was woke.
Yeah. And it's got us out here talking about women's health, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
This is a dad joke that really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, this dad joke has the power to change lives.
Yes.
Bravo.
So good. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Lulu. Oh, man, you got real some left. Applause real from our plus. From our expert panel as well. We have some text coming in here real quick from the 773. Why did God create cockroaches and rats before lawyers? He was practicing.
Oh,
okay.
Zinger.
All right. Someone's bitter.
Yeah, that's an angry dad joke. Yeah.
All right. Domati, do we have any more here? You want to read that one from the 773?
I'm proofreading this one. It looks like it's going left. Okay, you guys. Okay. Two older gentlemen are talking about their sex life. How's your sex life? I have Social Security sex. I get a little each month, but don't have enough to live on.
All right.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Get a good begrudging laugh out of me. Yeah, it's easy to make me laugh, I see. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. Okay, do you think it's time to crown a winner for tonight's Dad Joke competition?
I think it's time.
I'm ready to cast my vote.
Okay.
I think we know. I think we know here.
Okay, we have, in the running, we have Robert, Monica, Annette, John, and Lulu, who all did an excellent job and said amazing things about the show. Be sure to call my bosses and tell them how much you're loving the show, by the way. But for now, we're going to talk about dad jokes. Who is our winner? Do you guys need time to think about this?
Judges,
or?
I mean,
unanimous?
Let's just cover the microphones real quick. I want to make sure we're all
okay. I'm going to put them on offer.
As they deliberate, moment. I have one more that a texter.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, yes. 224 says, I was mowing the lawn the other day, and the dog ran out in front of the lawnmower, and I cut his tail off. I was freaking out, threw the dog and the tail in the car, and drove to Walmart. Ran up to a customer service rep and asked, where do I get this dog fixed at? The customer service lady was like, a vet. But isn't this the world's largest retailer?
Oh, come on.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
I caught the end of that, and I think I like what I hear.
Yeah. It was terrible.
You know what? You got to give him credit for trying, though, because that's, you know, it's
and it's a long setup. A long setup is always tough.
Yeah, you got to really pay off.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Speaking about paying off, we have our judges well back from their deliberation. They're coming back from the quarters. Who is our winner for tonight's dad joke competition?
Monica.
Welcome to Hollywood, Monica.
You did it.
Made it.
Which, ironically, because you get a pizza, you are one step further from Hollywood.
Where does he get this stuff?
Monica, way to go. Way to go. Have you ever thought about a career in comedy?
Well, actually, every Tuesday in my Pilates class, Monica tells a dumb joke. So I have a group of women that are always looking forward to it.
I knew she was practicing. Monica, you got to put your dates up on your website. Well, I'll come out to a show sometime.
Yeah. I've been training
for
this.
Thank you.
Well, way to go, Monica. We're going to get you a pizza from Lou Malnati's, the greatest pizza in Chicago. You just stick on the line with our producer, Curtis, who, might I say, is a funny guy himself. Maybe one of these days you can tell us one of your favorite dad jokes, too, okay?
Yeah, if I ever find one.
Okay. All right, Monica, let me put you on hold really quick. Congratulations, and thank you for listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. All right, guys, this has been fun, huh?
Yeah.
Have you had a good time?
Definitely. Could we also give an honorable mention to Lulu?
Yeah.
Did you want to do the drum roll? We can. Yeah. Right, we liked that one, too.
Well, you already said it. So.
Yeah, I said
she knows.
Lulu.
Lulu, yeah.
so anticlimactic.
Sorry, Lulu. That honorable mention was kind of a lemon.
Yeah.
A Lulu lemon.
All right. That's enough.
Oh, man.
Segment's over.
Stop him.
All right, guys. Before we let you go, I mean, if you want to stay, you can stick around. But where can we find you guys? Paige, where are you going to be performing next?
Good question. Okay, I'll be performing next at the Comedy Bar on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. It's the Tomato Throw Show. So if I have a bad joke, the audience has soft tomatoes that they can chuck at me, which is terrifying. But
and you don't like open mics. Terrible.
I like open mics. Yeah, sort
tomatoes.
Of.
We got to get you to the Bills one of these nights.
I will. I'll definitely come. But if you want to, if you want to know what else I'm up to, you could find me on Instagram at Paige_Blurr, BLURR. And I just recently reviewed Eminem's new album in a puppy filter, so check it out.
Oh, no way. Oh. We were going to actually talk about Eminem's new album. If you wanted to stick around, we could touch on that.
Around. Okay. Well, Sound Sessions is talking about it, too. You guys?
Yeah.
Paul is calling in. Is he?
Yeah, that's right. We got to get Paul on. Okay, there's a lot happening. before we do that, Tyler, where can they find you next?
Next Saturday, the 8th, I'm going to be at CH Distillery in the West Loop. We run a show there once a month. It's one of, it's the most fun. It's the best show of the month that I have, so it's so much fun. You can find tickets, all the information at teamuscomedy.com. It's going to be one of our best, so please come hang out with us.
Right on. How about you, Vic?
Yeah, I recommend everyone go to that show. I will not be at that show.
That's why I said it was going to be good.
Yeah. It is a monthly show. I'm going to be hosting at Zany's all next week, Tuesday through Sunday, in Old Town. And you can check out, for me, same thing, at VP Comedy on Facebook and Instagram. Check my schedule and get tickets to Zany's. So please come out.
I love it. You guys were fantastic. That's Paige Blurr. You can see her at the Comedy Bar on Tuesday. Tyler Fowler next Saturday at CH Distillery. And Vic Pandya is all over the city. This is a great team of comedians. You can check them out everywhere. But right now it is 4:01, so let's get you to the news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Sam from Greta Van Fleet, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
Hey, this is Michael from WGN Radio Sound Sessions, and I'm here with Sam Kiska from the band Greta Van Fleet live at Lollapalooza. What's going on, Sam?
Not really sure yet. We're just testing the grounds. I love this press area, though. It's nice. It's natureful.
Yes.
I love that.
We're surrounded by a lot of beautiful trees right now in the heart of Grant Park.
Yeah, it feels like we're out of Chicago. But...
Well, speaking about being from out of Chicago, you're from Michigan. Right. And are you from Frankenmuth, too?
Yes. Yeah, actually, all four of us. Mm-hmm. We're born and raised. Well, not born, and raised in Frankenmuth.
Wow.
So yeah, it's. I think there's a certain camaraderie, you know, that generates a sense of home and a sense of, you know, we're in this together.
Yeah. So. So what's your background? What was like the first time that your parents or your mom or dad put on an album and you're thinking, okay, this is what I need to do? Screw being a doctor. I'm going to be a rock and roll star.
I think that was something that is always been a constant in our life. Longer than I ever remember, there's always been, you know, like Muddy Waters blasting over the stereo of the house.
Yeah.
I'm told before we were even born, we all were well acquainted with the blues.
Okay.
You know, and that was our dad's obsession. He's like, they have to know the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, dad plays guitar and he picked up bass for a while. And that's actually how I got into it. His old bass. But he's one of the most incredible harmonica players I've ever seen. So yeah, the music kind of runs in the family.
That's what I hear. So is he in two bands too back home?
Yes, because he saw that we started being successful and he's like, oh, I can do that. So now he's actually got like three now.
Oh, right.
So,
on.
Yeah, so other than his job, his full-time job, he's a chemist.
Yes.
He loves to play music.
He has the mind of a chemist, the heart of Muddy Waters, and that must have made you, right?
I suppose you could think about it that way, yeah.
Okay. How's everything been going with the album and the immense wealth of popularity that you guys have seen over the past few months? How does it feel, man?
It feels actually very surreal. It's actually hard to really, like, get it to make sense in my head. I think that goes for all of us. Until we have some time to look at what we've done, I think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember stepping on stage for the first time back in Michigan and you're thinking, wow, we got something special here?
Yeah, we the first time we had a proper performance in front of a good amount of people, it was in Frankenmuth, and it was for the Auto Fest, and they put us up on a trailer, and lots of people come for the Frankenmuth Auto Fest. It's like 50,000 people walking the streets at any given moment. So that was a little bit nerve-wracking, yeah. But we just play now. That's what we've always done. We just played, and we love doing it. We would play, bar rooms in Saginaw, Michigan until 3 in the morning. And it wasn't safe at all, but luckily we had the support of the family and the support of everybody. So that's kind of how, you hone skills, and that's pretty much any advice I give to anybody who wants to be, serious in music, is just play.
Yeah, just play. You mentioned the fact that you're all in two different families, right?
Yeah.
So two sets of brothers. And often I see with the musicians that I speak to, it's family is the most important part. But the cool thing about your band is that you have brothers. I mean, what are the disagreements like in the band, and how do you cover those?
Well, I will say we're quite civil now, because we're quite grown up now, quite mature. But it used to be some broken windows, broken equipment, things in the yard, people chasing each other. But now, yeah, we've found a good way to support each other on the road, and I think you really have to do that. You can't hate the people you're with, and I think we've really learned to love each other, and love the music that we get to play with each other.
Yeah. So when you're on the road, what are you guys touring in now? Is it a van? Is it a bus? Is it a plane?
Oh yeah, bus. Yes, which is incredible, because I look back, this time last year we were in a van and trailer, and that was not quite as easy. And I guarantee we would not be able to be doing what we do now. It's pretty much 4 shows a week, and which is a bit cut down from what we were doing. So it's much more sustainable.
Okay. And what kind of stuff do you do to keep yourself busy on the road?
A lot of the time, I think the misperceived idea of rock and roll is that you just party all the time. And we like to party, but I think that when we get an off day, we want to put ourselves in nature.
Okay.
And I think that really, really helps with grounding yourself. And our favorite thing to do is go on a nice hike. Usually we get up a little later, so usually we're on the trail by 6, and then the sun's down, we have to walk back in the dark. It's great fun.
Okay, what you've been kind of all over the world now at this point. What are some of the best places you've seen for a good hike?
I would say, actually quite recently, the best hiking I've ever done was in the Santa Monica mountain range. Incredible. And then it was actually one of those moments when we were walking back. It was probably 10 o'clock at night. Everything's pitch black. We're a little bit kind of afraid that we're going to get eaten by wolves, but we're all playing it cool.
Yeah.
You hear like a squirrel rustle. You're like, what's that? Oh, it's just a squirrel. Yep. But it was
all good, man.
The moon was shooting down, and there was this big open field, and it was just dark, and the air's crisp, fresh, and cool. And it's like, and it was one of those moments where it was like, I feel, a little bit more part of the earth. And so, yeah, it's things like that that we really try to look for on our time off.
That's great, man. Thinking about, how you kind of gain inspiration from different things, because not everyone makes music from listening to other bands. I mean, I know you guys have been compared to Led Zeppelin a lot, and I didn't want to dive into it too much, but where do you find your inspiration to write these songs and grab these great lyrics tied with your awesome bass licks and guitar?
I think that the songs really come from the idea of a song. I think a lot of rock music has been a little bit more sound oriented, but I think that the song is so important to what music is, and it's kind of been a little bit lost. So we honestly, when we're thinking about it, I suppose that people like John Denver would be really big inspirations for us, like Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, these people who can really write a song, write an album.
I love that. John Denver, man, talk about a guy who's been all about nature. He wrote mainly about mountains.
Exactly, yeah. Pretty much just mountains and smoking grass around the campfire.
So let's talk about the new single that just came out. You did the vertical video for, what was the name of the song one more time?
When the Curtain Falls.
When the Curtain Falls, yes. I'm sorry, I had John Denver on the mind at the moment.
Me too. Rocky Mountain High.
So what was the inspiration to do the vertical video now? Because that's a genius idea. No one else is really diving into that.
I think, yeah, I'm really glad that Spotify, I'm a really big fan of Spotify because they really take everything to the next level. You know, the exclusive content, the Spotify exclusive stuff is really cool. And I'm really happy to be a part of that. And, yeah, the vertical video is kind of their format for that because, you know, the phone is very much a big part of the culture right now, whether it's you like it or not. And I think it was, we had it in mind, and we filmed the whole thing in Super 8 old film. So it's kind of a bit of a sneak peek at maybe a music video that will come along.
Yeah, When the Curtain Falls, make sure you check this out. I was watching it on the way over here. It's amazing. Sam, what's next for the band? What's next for Greta Van Fleet?
Well, next, big picture, I'm really, really excited to get the forthcoming album out. And yeah, exactly, because the fuel that we've gotten from just the double EP is absolutely incredible, and the support that we've gotten, great. So I'm really excited to finally get that album out and you know, show people where we've come in the past year and a half touring.
Okay, right on, man, right on. Well, this was Sam, my good friend from Greta Van Fleet. It's great talking to you, man. We do. It's been a while, man. Thanks for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Alright, welcome back. This is Michael Heidemann in for Dave Plyer tonight. And that great band you were just listening to is Maddie Rebel from Take the Reins. Thank you for sending it. You can find them at Take the Reins 312. We're playing Chicago music all night as our music bumps, and that's kind of what the show is all about here on Sound Sessions. We're all about connecting Chicago music to you, to the listener. And be sure to write me your favorite bands, either at 312-981-7200, or you can find me on Facebook. My name is Michael Heidemann. Again, I'm the producer of The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And we've been having a lot of fun. We had a few people duck out from our comedy panel, but luckily, we're here and honored to be with Paige Blair. What's going on, Paige?
Can't get rid of me.
And you brought me this great drink, too, so it's keeping me energized throughout the night. Now, you're a fan of this Soylent Strawberry Protein Shake?
Yeah, I just found out about it earlier this week.
Okay.
It's like solves all my needs because all I want is caffeine and to not be hungry. And, that'll do it.
It does the job. Man, yeah. 20% daily nutrition.
I know. What do you think of the strawberry flavor?
It's not too bad. It reminds me of Nestle's Quick. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I'm familiar. Does it feel like you're drinking like a Weight Watcher shake? Did your mom drink those?
She did. They were so good.
Yes,
of course I did.
Of course.
And I was like, is this going to turn me into a woman? And I'm like, no, but Michael, you're talking crazy. But I was 10.
It'll turn you into a curvaceous beauty.
We got some texts coming in from the 301. Hey, Michael, great job and fun show. You are an amazing person. Thank you for that text. We're getting a lot of great texts about Domati's time here on the show, too. That man is amazing. He's amazing.
Amazing.
He does it all. He's our news guy here at WGN, too. Yeah. And he's all over the city. I don't know when that guy sleeps.
Well, probably like you. He probably doesn't. Yeah, no. Super fun. So humble.
Yeah,
so
right?
Talented and so, I'm not a big deal. Such a big deal.
Yeah, he's such a big deal, and he's young too, so he still has a lot of like great years ahead of him too, which is amazing. But we're here to talk about music. We've been spinning great music throughout the night. We're going to take a look at what everyone here at the roundtable is listening to for this new segment with Now Spinning.
I feel dizzy. Why do I feel dizzy?
Welcome into Now Spinning. Paige, did you like what I did there?
Yes.
The spin doctors?
I might have zoned out for a second. I don't know what you did.
Yeah, I liked it.
This is the segment where we look at what we've been listening to lately. It could be new music, it could be old music, it could be music that's just speaking to us, and we go around the round table and see what we've been listening to. Paige, what have you on your docket these days?
Okay. Does it have to be Chicago-based?
No, it does not need to be Chicago-based.
Well, I mean, my favorite Chicago artist right now is Rick Wilson.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
No,
no. Okay with Rick Wilson. He's like, he's a hip-hop artist, and he has a lot of horns, a lot of really fun songs. So
okay.
That will have to add into the rotation.
Yeah.
What
song should I check out by him?
Let me think. Like, there's one called, like, Good Vibes.
Okay. I'm all about those.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm going to look him up. I'm gonna write down my top three Rick Wilson songs. But the ones on my list, I have Austin Sexton, X-Sexton.
Yes.
Have you heard of him?
I have, but I can't recall any of his music.
His music, okay. So the album's called Good Sex, and the song that I've been listening to a whole bunch is Paola.
Okay.
And that is beautiful. And the music video, too, is so trippy and fun.
Austin Sexton?
Yeah, like S-E-X-T-O-N. Austin Sexton.
Is this some of the music that you listen to when you get pumped up before your shows?
No, that's like... That's not necessarily a pump-up song, but...
Okay, okay.
I would say a pump-up song would be this G-Eazy Young Pinch song, Why Would I Wait? I've been listening to that a lot.
Okay,
I don't know.
It.
Basically, are you a Tidal, Spotify, or Apple person?
So I'm an Apple guy because it's just easy on my phone. And okay. I used to love Spotify because I love making the playlist, and that's how a lot of music gets spread these days. Mm-hmm. And I know... And Tidal just... kept me from it because there was that controversy with Kanye West's album at the beginning, and then there was that price change, and I was like, oh, I can't do it anymore. Tidal got me. What about you?
Yeah, Tidal.
Okay.
Totally. Like, just Tidal. Knock it.
Okay.
I just like thinking that my money is supporting Beyonce and Jay-Z. Not that they necessarily need my money, but they have some curated playlists, so every week, like, new songs that have come out or various playlists that they've concocted, and I usually just listen through and then pluck the ones that resonate.
Okay.
And then I listen to them, like, 1,000 times.
I love
over
it.
And over. Do you do that, too? Like, you get obsessed?
Yes. Actually, I just found out about Post Malone, this famous rapper, this guy who writes a lot of this mumble rap. He sings, you know, no. Mm-hmm. And
you
the song...
You think that you are better now.
That's the song I can't stop listening to at the moment.
I've been there.
Let's go around the round table. Roger, it's great to see you, my friend. We're talking about music that we have spinning lately. It could be new.
Oh,
it could be old.
Oh.
What's in your headphones, my friend?
You.
dad joke.
That was last segment.
I'm so sorry. What's in my headphones? Well, when I listen to music nowadays, I either listen to Amazon Music because I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber. So we get Amazon Music for free.
Oh, okay.
I use it a couple of times. I'll put on a 60s mix, or I will put on music to relax and sleep to.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, boring. I have, as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show, you know, I had so much vinyl.
Yeah.
And I converted as much as I could. I've got it all on my computer, my laptop at home, but I've got a selection from that I put on my phone.
Hmm.
And when I'm, you know, when there's nothing that I want to listen to on the radio when I'm driving, or when I'm at home relaxing, there's nothing on TV, I will throw that on. And it's such an eclectic mix. It'll go all the way from Frank Sinatra to Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I love it.
So, and good everything bookends. In between.
Yeah. I love that. What's your favorite Frank Sinatra song? Because, as you know, the funeral for John McCain just happened, and he closed with My Way by Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
I would have to go to It's 2:45.
Okay.
One for the Road, basically, because I actually used that in college as the closing theme song to my jazz show at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. But Summer Wind.
Oh,
it just builds and it's so cool, and he's so strong in it. The other stuff is stuff he did with his Latin music that he did with Antonio Carlos Jobim. He did a whole album of Latin songs. Very cool, very late nightish, turn the lights down kind of thing.
Hmm.
Roger, I feel like the listeners only get the tip of the iceberg with you. You're a very deep fella. Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to go straight to Curtis. Curtis, what do you got spinning these days?
Oh, gosh. Well, Michael, you and I have talked before about how we're big fans of the Struts. And
absolutely.
We played a little bit of them earlier tonight. Well, they have that new song, Body Talks. They have that collaboration with Kesha.
Yeah.
And that, so I've been listening to that. That's been spinning. Just a few other artists I have right now. I actually made a playlist because I commute here, so I drive on I-90, so I have an I-90 playlist.
Okay. So a mixtape?
Yeah. Tom Petty, Creedence, Clearwater Revival, Panic at the Disco, Rolling Stones, The Cinnamon Phase, MGMT, Foo Fighters, just to name a few of them that are on there.
I love it. Okay, what Panic at the Disco are you listening to? They just came out with a new album as well.
Yeah, listening to a few songs I have, I can remember off the top of my head. High Hopes is one of them.
Okay.
That's on there. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. I could probably pull it up on my phone and get you the other names, but there's a few other ones on there just off the top of my head on that Spotify playlist.
Right on, man. Great choice of music, man. I love the Struts. If you haven't listened to them, you need to put them on really quick because they're one of the sleeper hits. They just open up for the Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field, and they're this British invasion glam rock band where the guy comes out on stage in makeup and wears a cape.
Nice.
I mean, if you got a cape on,
yeah,
it's just you're doing something right.
You're doing it right.
You are doing it right.
Fun fact: I went to Turnabout with one of the members from Panic at the Disco.
No.
Yeah, John Walker. At least he used to be in it. He's not anymore. But
yeah, because it's just the one guy now.
Yeah, Brendan Urie.
Yeah, it was like way back. We were like, oh my god, John Walker's famous. But I also want to retract. I said Rick Wilson's song was called Good Vibes. It's actually called Soul Bounce.
I was way off.
And then the other one's called Hang Loose. So it's like, put those two together, Soul Bounce, Hang Loose. That's good vibes.
But okay. Rick Wilson.
Rick Wilson. R-I-C Wilson. He's a Chicago artist.
All right. I love it. I will check him out.
Okay. Thank you for letting me fix that.
I will check up everything. Hey, Curtis, before we go, I've been asking you to do this music bump for the last, like, 3 hours. Can we close up the music vault really quick?
Of course.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to be coming back after the news with This Week in History with Dave Schwann. It's been a pleasure speaking to y'all. Let's take a quick break for the news with our man, Roger Badish.
Ask not. The Beatles.
Circus is on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago
World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're gonna need outstanding hosts
with Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Wow, the production on that every time just gets me. This is did you put that together, Curtis?
No, I did not put that together.
Oh, man.
I wish I could take credit for that.
Wow. Well, good job to whoever did it. Mr. Duffy, and we got just the work on WGN's intros is amazing. This is Michael Heidemann, not Dave Plyer, but I'm in for Dave Plyer here. And some of you might know that I was got my start being Dave Plyer's producer all those years ago, 5 years ago. And that's kind of how I learned how to kind of flex my producer's muscle. And I remember cutting these clips and doing what we had to do. And again, this is my second time doing it. And can I say it's an honor to be speaking to the legendary broadcaster, Mr. Dave Schwann. How's it going tonight, Dave?
Who?
You, Dave. It's a pleasure.
Good morning. Good morning, you guys. Yeah, it is a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Good morning to you as well. It is 4:37 here in the morning on this beautiful Chicago day. We're out looking on Lake Michigan. Oh my gosh, this is the greatest studio in the greatest city right now.
It is beautiful. And well, you know, the days are getting a bit shorter and shorter now, especially now that we're into September. But, you know, the view is still spectacular from here.
Yes.
You know, we moved in right in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
In July, when you know, we had daylight at this time when I would come into work, but to watch the sunrise from the studio where you guys are, and really even from the newsroom here, is spectacular.
And if you want to tune in and see some of it, at least you can see our faces and maybe some of the views. You can tune in to WGNRadio.com and check out the streaming service there, which is always great. But like I said, this is history. This is a world-famous segment that Dave and Dave do every single week. And, hey, Dave, before I forget, do you have any good plans for Labor Day?
I'll be here tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And then I'm going out to see my dad for lunch, and then I've got a bit of work to do after that, so I'm laboring all weekend on Labor Day weekend. But Tuesday is an off day for me, so
you're really you're taking the word labor and really going to town
with
it. I see.
That's usually the case. So,
well, didn't your dad and you just go on a trip? Yes, we did.
We went out west. We went started in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then rented a car and drove north to Rocky Mountain National Park. And it
wow.
was a beautiful week. We did a lot of neat stuff. And the weather, we had one day of rain where we were on the road. So it didn't hamper us from doing anything outside. And the rain wasn't bad enough where we had to, you know, stop driving or anything like that. But other than that, it was a great time to be out and around, and had a wonderful week. We really did.
Man, so how long was that drive? It sounds like it quite some time.
It was an all day. No, we did it in 2 days. We from Santa Fe up to Estes Park, Colorado. We broke it up. So we started on Wednesday, the 22nd, and got in early Thursday afternoon to the park. So we had Thursday afternoon and all day Friday of now, the week before last, to spend, and then we came back. So,
okay.
It was a as usual, vacations are too short, like this one was. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, but if you had a good time, that's what matters. And we did. I love it out there. I really do.
I love that you have that connection with your dad, and you guys can travel all over the world together. It makes me happy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do the long flights over to Europe anymore, and I don't blame him, because uh-huh. they are long,
yeah.
very long. And, you know, these here, you know, just in the U.S., for instance, the flights were quicker than I thought. We flew from here to Albuquerque, New Mexico in less than 3 hours, and then flew back from Denver in less than 3 hours. So that's fine. And plus the fact there is so much to see and do in our own country. So,
yes.
you know, I'm fine with that. I do want to do some more traveling in Europe. There are some places I haven't seen that I would like to see. But, you know, to do things in and around our own country, Canada, Mexico, yes, sir. I'm ready for that.
I love it. So I have a question. On your travels, have you ever taken a Ford Edsel?
No.
Well,
no.
On September 4th, 1957, was called E-Day. According to its advertiser campaign, the Ford Motor Company unveils the Edsel, the first new automobile brand produced by one of the big three car companies in 1938. Although many people have called it the Ford Edsel, the Edsel was a division of its own, like Lincoln or Mercury. Now, I'm not really familiar with this kind of car. Do you know what this is?
There's a very interesting story behind the Edsel. It was 1958, by the way, when the first one came out.
Okay.
Edsel was the first name of either a son or grandson of Henry Ford.
Oh,
and yeah, Edsel Ford was the man's name. E-D-S-E-L, Edsel. And I saw a story on this where some of the PR people did a survey on, you know, various people wondering, you know, what would be a good name for a car. And all of the responses came back, Edsel doesn't make it.
That does,
but the Ford family, being the Ford family, they owned the company, said, yes, this car is going to be the Edsel. It lasted 2.5 years.
Yes, yes. In its first year, in fact, the Edsel stole 64,000 cars and lost $250 million, which is $2.5 billion today.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a failure. And I can remember my dad, who loves cars, mm-hmm. of any kind, pointing out when I was a kid, you know, even though they stopped making them in 1960, 59, 60, you know, in the mid to late 60s, there were still some that were on the road, you know, like you see older cars today that are 15, 20 years old,
yeah.
or, you know, that sort of thing. And it was kind of neat to see one just because of the fact that they were no longer being made, but somehow they were, you know, they were still being driven by people that still had some. But no, they didn't sell at all. It was a bomb. It was a bomb.
That's too bad.
I hope they learned something from that.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, at least they tried, right?
Yes, they did.
So in 1969, moving right along, the first ATM, America's first automatic teller machine, makes its public debut, dispensing cash to customers and the Chemical Bank in Rockville Center, New York. ATMs went on to revolutionize the banking industry.
To say the least.
Yeah. Man, what was it like? You would just go there with your checks and
yeah,
your,
oh, right, man. Right. You know, you got paid and you got a real check, you got a paper check. Oh, you're playing Pink Floyd.
The money.
Yeah, you would. You know, you got your paycheck. Yes, you'd have to go to the bank. There was a line at the teller's window,
mm-hmm.
and you would say, "Give me so much cash back." Yes, that's the only way you got it.
One of my first jobs was at a bank here in Chicago as a teller, so they almost put me out of business there, those ATMs. So thank you for that. Oh, by the way, we have a funny text coming through here.
Okay.
From the 301. When I was in high school, I used to work on Saturdays for a guy who owned an Edsel. I'm going to look up that car now. I'm going to find a photo of it really quick.
You'll laugh when you see it. It had a big horseshoe collar type of thing in the center of the grill.
Oh.
Don't ask me where that came from, but you will laugh when you see this.
Who designs those kind of goofy cars? It's so funny.
That was 60 years ago, you know?
Well, how about this? In 1974, Ford pardoned Nixon. This week in 1974, in the controversial executive action, President Gerald Ford pardoned his disgraced predecessor, Richard M. Nixon, for any crimes he might have committed or participated in while in office. Wow. Whew. This might be, or may or not be, some foreshadowing for what we got going on today. How big was this story at the time? This was all over the news.
It was huge. I was going into my freshman year in college when all of that came. When Nixon resigned, that was the summer, August, and then, of course, Gerald Ford assumed the presidency
mm-hmm.
immediately after the resignation. So, yeah, in September, that was his first big act as president to pardon Nixon. He said to Congress that this was the best way for the country to move forward to talk about problems, namely things like inflation. I think we still had some involvement in Vietnam. That was not wrapped up completely yet. So he said, in order for us to address things that we need to address, I am pardoning the former president and we will move on. A lot of people think, you know, that there was a deal cut between Nixon and Ford, you know, Nixon saying, I will, you know, if you pardon me, you know, you will be the next president. Because of this, I know we're, you know, you want to move on to other things, but the reason Gerald Ford was mm-hmm. there, Michael,
yeah.
was because Spiro Agnew, who was Richard Nixon's vice president
yes.
for the first and the beginning of the second term, was indicted on things like misappropriation of funds or some business deal that he got. He was indicted. So Spiro Agnew resigned. The charges were later dropped. And that's how Gerald Ford became vice president.
That is very interesting, because I always thought that Gerald Ford was his vice president.
Okay. Well, he was, but I mean, he wasn't his running mate when he ran for election in 68 and certainly not in 72. It was Spiro Agnew.
Wow. Very interesting. Curtis, did you know that?
I don't. Dave always teaches me something new.
Yes.
Every single week.
Wealth of
knowledge.
Well,
you'll be old someday too, Curtis.
Yeah, I have a long way to go.
All right, this one is more in my wheelhouse, I suppose. In 1982, the iconic 80s movie Valley Girls hit theaters, and While Valley Girl became a top 40 hit for Frank.
I have that record
Zeppelin.
Somewhere at home yet.
You do?
Yeah.
You spun this vinyl on the 80s?
Oh, yeah. I bought the 45 of this. It was hilarious. Frank Zappa. It's great.
Frank Zappa was not only like a novelty act at the time. Here we go. Yes.
That's his daughter doing that. Do you know what his daughter's name was?
Moon Unit
yep.
Zappa.
Yep.
Gosh, what a weird guy. I love it. And the thing is, he actually was a very talented musician, but he just knew how to get into
he
the counterculture.
He did a lot. Frank Zappa did a lot in the music. You know, he's known for that and known for being kind of a weird person, but mm-hmm. he was a very, very astute musician.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a very interesting guy, too. Cool hair, by the way. Moving right along, in 1996, believe it or not, this is the week where Tupac was shot. The actor and hip-hop recording artist Tupac Shakur is shot several times in Las Vegas, Nevada, after attending a boxing match. Shakur was riding in a black BMW with Death Row Records founder Marion Suge Knight when a white Cadillac sedan pulled alongside and fired into Shakur's car. Knight was only grazed in the head. Oh, man, grazed in the head. But Shakur was hit several times. He died in the hospital several days later, which incited one of the biggest rap battles of all time, man. If not of all history.
And now, you know, you've just refreshed my memory on that one. I had forgotten about that.
Were you a big Tupac fan back in the day, Dave?
Not really, no.
Right next to the Frank Zappa albums? Was it the Rough Riders crew?
The Rough Riders.
Yes. You know what the thing about this was, when I was young, back a million years
ago. What do you mean when you were young? You're still young.
Well, in 1996, I was much younger than I am today. And I remember,
so was I.
I was two.
Oh,
please.
Come on, Curtis. Did you really have to say that to me? Now I feel even older than I was before.
You really were two?
Yep.
Were you two?
I'm going home.
Tupac, maybe. Oh, well, this was a huge, huge moment because MTV was starting to really get its teeth sunk into the music industry. And I remember MTV News covered this on a 24-hour cycle. And this is how I really got into journalism, and especially music journalism, by seeing people like Kurt Loder and all these people speak about this insane rap feud that kind of was just a collection of hearsay and myths brought to you by MTV, which kind of made it a little bit bigger than it actually was at the time. I mean, it was sad that he got shot, but holy smokes, his legend is huge now. It's insane. So yeah, R.I.P. Tupac. He was a good man, and some of the greatest rap songs of all time. In 1997, Princess Diana had her funeral, which is very sad. Princess Diana died on August 31st, this past Friday. And this week, 21 years ago, an estimated 2.5 billion people around the globe tuned in on television to watch the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales, who died at the age of 36. Wow. She died really young, a lot younger than I thought she did, in a car crash in Paris the week before. During her 15-year marriage to Prince Charles, the son of Queen Elizabeth II and heir to the British throne, Diana had become one of the most famous, most photographed people on the planet. Now, Dave, you got to have some memories about Princess Diana.
Well, I remember first off when the engagement was announced between her and Prince Charles. The wedding took place in June or July of 1981. I had just come to Chicago to start working in radio, and that was a big, big deal. You talk about the viewing audience for Princess Diana's funeral. Mm-hmm. It was probably that big for the wedding in 81. And then, you know, the divorce ensued, and she was going out with other people when that accident happened, and then she was killed. I was home Saturday evening. I wasn't working this shift. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it was in between times, between the first and second time working at the station. I was home Saturday night and watching something on TV, and they broke in saying that she had been very seriously injured. And then the next morning, it was just everywhere that she had been killed.
Yeah,
is what it was.
It's so sad. And a quick personal story about this. My parents had scheduled this we are going to take this European trip, and they booked it to England that week.
Oh, really?
Not knowing this. So they were there for the funeral.
Oh, and, wow.
And there were so many people surrounding that cathedral. They had people stationed to hand out tissues from a newspaper carrier that they would just hand out to people, and they got the programs handed out. It shut down the entire city for the entire day.
So, sure.
Yeah. One of the saddest moments, I mean, with Elton John singing Candle in the Wind,
mm-hmm.
and that became one of like his most well-known songs. It was a very sad time for in 1997. Yeah, kind of changed the world there.
Yep. Also lost a broadcasting hero of mine that year.
Oh yeah, who?
Charles Kuralt.
Charles Kuralt. No, who is that man? I can't recall.
You don't know who? Well, okay. I guess I am old.
No.
Charles Kuralt, look him up. He did so much great work. Worked for CBS News in television and came up with a series called On the Road. And of course, you know, with my love of travel, this was something that, you know, just appealed to me. But mm-hmm. I remember he had weekly segments on the CBS Evening News when Walter Cronkite was still doing.
Wow.
But he and a crew had a van that they drove around the country and found some of the most interesting stories about people who, you know, ordinarily would get no attention whatsoever.
Yeah.
But just talked about their lives, talked about a certain area that may have had a huge connection to history and that sort of thing. And the thing that really made this happen was that he was a magnificent writer.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he put those together. I would imagine you could find these on some of them on YouTube. Maybe if there's an archive section in the CBS television website, CBS TV, you could find those. But Charles Kuralt is definitely somebody worth paying attention to. Some of the things that Harry Smith does are along those lines. They certainly were influenced by what Kuralt did. Now, he was a hero for me.
Wow.
Got to meet him in college, too. But.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty effective, because I remember when I met my radio legends, this is kind of what pointed me in the direction of being in radio. So that must have been a big moment for you.
It was. Jeez. It was, yeah. He came to Ball State and had time to talk to everybody and signed autographs, and I still have the program from that evening with his signature on it. It's framed, and it's hanging up by my desk at home.
Wow. All right, let's move right along. 2014, Dave made sure that we played this because it kind of is touching, and she made us laugh, she made us cry. Legendary comedian Joan River passed away. Joan Rivers, one of the best-known comedians of her era, died at the age of 81 in New York City a week after she went into cardiac arrest while undergoing a medical procedure on her vocal cords at a Manhattan clinic. During a showbiz career that spanned more than five decades, Rivers blazed the trail for women in stand-up comedy and turned "Can we talk?" into a national catchphrase. Our own Dave Plyer spoke to Joan only 3 weeks before her death, and it was her last radio interview ever. Oh man, Dave. Here are some of the highlights.
Yes.
You've done it for almost five decades, which is absolutely incredible.
Made a living making people laugh. How nice is that?
It is fabulous. Well, I got to tell you, when I was younger and watching The Tonight Show and they would announce, you know, that tonight's guest host was Joan Rivers, I'd get so excited. I was thrilled that you were there for the day, for the week. I saw you with Rickles at the Foxwoods in Connecticut. You are
You're
right?
I love him. What a fun, he's much funnier, if you can believe it, off stage than on. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's all. Well, as are you. And I have to get this out of the way. You know, there are times I've seen journalists, Joan, or hosts interview someone that have no point of reference. And I know you know what I'm getting at here. They don't know who they don't know who they're interviewing. They read a few lines on Wikipedia, saw you on YouTube for a few seconds, and you did the CNN interview last weekend, and you know, it's like they are oblivious of who you are. They've never seen your act in the past five decades. They don't understand the sense of humor. In my opinion, didn't understand in general that we have to laugh at life sometimes, no matter what it is.
This poor woman, looking back, she thought she was in the Nuremberg trials, and I was Eichmann. And she was going to...
Way to go, Dave. Man, Joan Rivers, rest in peace.
I have a memory. I can't place who the person was that was interviewing her, but now that you played that clip, it's coming back to me that happened right before she passed away.
Oh man, that was such a shock too, because you didn't think she would ever pass away, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's how legendary she was. That was the week, and you can listen to the rest of that interview at WGNradio.com. And Dave, this was a pleasure. That was the end of This Is History.
Thank you again, Michael. Didn't we did something just a few weeks ago here, right?
Yeah, we did.
We were on together.
It seems like forever ago, but I'm so glad we got to sit back in the saddle together again tonight.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Love
it. Thanks again, Dave, for helping me through that.
Okay, thanks, Curtis.
Nope. No problem.
He said no?
No, thank you for
all
that.
All right, fine.
All right, guys, let's close out the show after this. We have Walter's Perspective coming up, and we'll be back in just a minute.